the center of the problem is in Hubei province, which is key to the Chinese supply chain.
What is China's coronavirus doing to the economy? We'll take a closer look at that. This is Wednesday, January 29th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, that coronavirus is spreading with many more infected and dead. You will hear the personal story of someone caught in the China shutdown. From Washington, the conclusion of another phase of the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. All of that and much more on today's VOA Asia. Just a few weeks ago, the trade war between the United States and China seemed to be easing. A phase one deal was announced by the world's two largest economies. Financial markets worldwide, for the most part, were in an upturn. But then came a mysterious virus in the Chinese city of Wuhan. That virus has now spread to other nations, with the death toll in China at 106. More than 4,500 cases of the virus have been confirmed in China. The effect on world markets is being closely watched. Jeff Moon is the former assistant trade representative for China in the Obama administration. I asked him about the negative effects of the virus outbreak on world markets.
Well, the problem here from a business perspective is uncertainty. That due to the uncertainty that's been created by this virus, businesses can't move forward. Trade is completely interrupted. And this has short and long-term effects. It's not clear in the short term where we're going. The number of cases is rising quickly, but we really don't know what the long-term trajectory is because it's unclear whether patients are going to be contagious or not because they don't present symptoms necessarily. This comes at a particularly difficult time because all of China traditionally is traveling during this period, during their equivalent of Christmas, during the Spring Festival. And in the short term, this is causing shortages of basic supplies like food, and it will reduce consumption in China at a time when the Chinese economy is decelerating and really needs consumers to fuel economic activity. The most immediate signals that we're seeing are in the stock market. As you suggested, there was a sharp drop. Today, there has been some recovery, but the stock market is watching very closely what's going to happen here. Other short and long-term implications include whether companies or individuals will make purchases, whether they will invest, whether new ventures will go on hold. There are lots of logistical disruptions here. There are travel restrictions that are being imposed by the Chinese and other governments. Foreigners are being evacuated. Shipping is being interrupted. The railways between Hong Kong and the mainland have been interrupted in the air industry. There are more screenings of passengers and fewer routes that are out there. And then there are some industries that are immediately impacted by this, like tourism, gaming. But we don't know the longer term implications for industries like manufacturing, for example. The center of the problem is in Hubei province, which is key to the Chinese supply chain. Foxconn serves Apple and many other tech companies. So this could, in the longer term, cause supply chain to diversify further away from China and further push decoupling. If you're looking for any kind of silver lining in this picture, The one small positive aspect of this is that this, contrary to those who want to push decoupling, this shows the importance of international cooperation. This problem can't be solved without cooperation between China, the United States, the WHO, and all of our global partners. And this is a very graphic representation of how important that international cooperation is.
There have been concerns that the virus outbreak could lead to a worldwide recession. Moon says that is possible.
It really depends on the longer-term effects, how serious the disruptions will be. If you look back to SARS, when the weather warmed up a few months from now, the problem was dissipated. So that would minimize the problem to a certain extent. But as I said, China is already accelerating in terms of its economy. It does not need a hit to consumption. And the phase one trade deal actually relies on Chinese purchases of American goods. If there are problems in the supply chain and production of goods, then theoretically, if this goes on long enough, there could be some impact on China's ability to fulfill those terms. And that would be a major problem, too.
Jeff Moon is the former assistant trade representative for China in the Obama administration. He spoke with us via Skype. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. U.S. forces working in a mostly Taliban-controlled region of Afghanistan have recovered the remains of two military personnel killed when their plane crashed in the country's Ghazni province. The U.S. government Tuesday charged the Harvard University Department Chair and a Boston University employee with failing to disclose their dealings with Chinese research agencies while receiving federal research funding. A division of the World Bank has just made its first so-called green loan to a bank in Vietnam, meant for businesses to help with environmental problems in a nation that has one of the world's highest emissions rates relative to its economy. China has agreed that the World Health Organization will send international experts there as soon as possible. VOA Asia continues now. The World Health Organization warns the evacuation of nationals from China to their home countries carries the risk of spreading the deadly coronavirus. The WHO reports 4,428 cases of the disease in China. That includes 106 deaths. Another 45 cases are confirmed in 13 countries. Lisa Schlein reports from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus is wrapping up several days of talks with China's President Xi Jinping and other high-level officials in Beijing. They have been discussing measures to protect the health of Chinese citizens and foreigners during the coronavirus outbreak. WHO spokesman Christian Lindemeyer says officials also have considered possible alternatives to the evacuation of foreigners from China to ensure no infections are imported back to their home countries. He calls that a real possibility, as the incubation period of the coronavirus is between 1 and 14 days. That means people can transmit the virus during that period.
There are possibilities that also asymptomatic people, so people showing no symptoms at all, could be infectious, are definitely interesting and concerning and have to be closer looked at. That's all I can say so far. It's one of the big unknowns about this virus which have to be solved.
Lindemeyer tells VOA that the WHO does not yet have a position on the pros and cons of quarantining nationals upon their return. He says the WHO is waiting for clarification on the dangers of transmitting the disease during the incubation period before issuing advice.
Closely monitoring or even isolating people who are coming back might be a measure yet if we see symptoms. Closely monitoring, or some countries refer to isolating them even for a certain amount of time, is a measure possible. It could help the scenario, it could help prevent the further spread of the virus.
The good news, says Lindemeyer, is that there has not been any major spread of the infection outside of China. The WHO's latest risk assessment of the coronavirus rates the regional and global risk level as high, and that of China as very high. While the virus is not rapidly spreading outside of China, the WHO urges countries to remain vigilant and be prepared. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
At least five people in Australia have tested positive for the coronavirus. The latest is a young Chinese student diagnosed in Sydney. Australia is increasing its border and biosecurity measures. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
Medical authorities are warning it's likely there will be more confirmed cases in Australia of the potentially deadly coronavirus. School children in New South Wales state have been told to stay away from class for 2 weeks if they've been in contact with a confirmed case of the disease. Symptoms of the virus include fever, difficulty breathing, and coughing. The coronavirus causes severe respiratory infection, and there is no cure or vaccine. Most of the deaths have been of those with pre-existing respiratory problems or the elderly. Doctors in Australia are being urged to wear protective face masks when seeing patients who potentially carry the coronavirus. It's thought to have originated in the Chinese city of Wuhan, the capital of Hubei province. Australia's chief medical officer is Professor Brendan Murphy.
We are starting to look at people who've come from parts of China other than Hubei as potentially at risk, although our focus still remains on that Hubei province of China, which is the epicenter and which is the only place where human-to-human transmission has been identified.
Australia is also bracing for a slump in visitors from China, its biggest international tourist market, because of restrictions put in place to try to stop the spread of the disease. The Australian government doesn't know how many of its citizens are caught in the vast quarantine lockdown area imposed by authorities in China. Reports have suggested that 100 Australians, including children, could be unable to leave. Coronavirus cases have also been confirmed in several countries, including Germany, Japan, South Korea, the United States, and Canada. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Japan and the United States Wednesday geared up to airlift hundreds of their citizens from ground zero of China's deadly virus epidemic, Wuhan. Up next on VOA Asia, you'll hear from a woman in Beijing who is desperately trying to visit her 103-year-old grandmother elsewhere in China, but she cannot. Happening now in Asia news, Britain will allow China's Huawei technologies to help build the country's next generation cellular network, dealing a blow to a U.S. campaign to launch a worldwide boycott of the telecom equipment giant. Stay up to date with VOA. This is VOA Asia. More than 50 million people have been locked down in and around Wuhan, the central industrial city where the outbreak first began, in a bid by authorities to stop an infection that has since spread to more than 15 countries. Thousands of foreigners are among those effectively trapped in the area, and numerous countries are devising plans to evacuate their nationals. Mi Ling Hu is a Beijing resident who was looking forward to traveling to Zhejiang province to visit her elderly grandmother for the holiday. She spoke with VOA's Myra Fernandez about her situation.
At first, I didn't believe it because I was so excited to go back home and to see my grandmother, who is over 100 years old. So that makes it more and more important and more special for me to see her. Unfortunately, at the time, the virus already spreading very fast, and people advised me not to go. And my family was very concerned, of course, and very worried. And I was calling with my sister, and she told me to cancel the flight because we can both not risk to travel at a time where so many people are traveling. Over a billion people are traveling around these times of the year. Being in such a massive crowd and expose basically our own health to such a virus that is so unknown, and so because it's unknown, it's extra scary, right?
But where is your grandmother living?
So she lives in eastern China. It's about a 6-hour drive from Shanghai, and it is actually the province that is severely affected. Personally, I try to look at it as rational as I can, because I do not believe that panicking helps in this situation. But to be very honest with you, today and yesterday were very challenging for me not to stress and not to feel overwhelmed by the news and how fast it's spreading. And people are scared. Streets are empty indeed, and you do see some people still walking, maybe walking their dog, or some shops are still open, some supermarkets are still open, but most of what you can see in the most of the storage is either empty, or they have difficulty for the supplies of masks, of detergent, of disinfectants, of all the things that you need to be super clean.
Exactly.
That is lacking in most of the shops and pharmacies right now. To get you to share my personal experience with you, the day before yesterday, I went out to get more masks, and I was checking six pharmacies, and 3 very big supermarkets to find any, but without any luck.
So masks,
that was very stressful.
Masks are sold out.
Masks are sold out, and shops have difficulty resupplying them because people are buying them online. People are stacking boxes of those every time it gets resupplied. So there's a lot of demand for that, and the supplies at the moment is not enough.
You were saying that where your grandmother lives is one of the most affected areas. You talk to your family every day. Are you checking on them?
Yes, we're staying in touch on how she's doing and how everyone is doing.
Mi Ling Hu is a Beijing resident who was looking forward to traveling to Zhejiang province to visit her elderly grandmother for the holiday. She spoke with VOA's Myra Fernandez. Coming up, the U.S. president's lawyers state his case. We'll take you to Capitol Hill. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
VOA Asia continues. Rashmi Sahajwala never expected to start working at the age of 59, let alone join India's gig economy. Now she's part of an army of housewives turning their homes into cloud kitchens to feed time-starved millennials. The so-called cloud kitchens, restaurants that have no physical presence and a delivery-only model, are rising in popularity as there is a boom in food delivery apps such as Swiggy and Zomato. Although Indian women have long battled for access to education and employment opportunities, the biggest hurdle for many is convincing conservative families to let them leave home. But new apps like Curryful, Home Foodie, and Nanagar are tapping the skills of housewives to slice, dice, and prepare meals for hungry urbanites from the comfort of their homes.
So program like Curryful, it is good for women because India is a very conservative country, and still people, the women cannot go easily outside and work.
One of the first housewives to join Curryful in November 2018, shortly after its launch, Sahajwala was initially apprehensive, despite having 4 decades of experience in the kitchen. Since then, she's undergone a crash course in how to run a business, from creating weekly menus to buying supplies from wholesale markets to cut costs. Businesses in the Philippines' Taguete City, a popular tourist destination which borders the rest of Taal Volcano, are opening back up despite central government warnings that they stay closed. Taal erupted over a week ago, and local authorities have since enforced the 14-kilometer exclusion zone around the volcano, which continues to keep evacuated locals away from their abandoned pets. The Department of Interior and local government has officially advised all businesses along the zone to stay closed, but now open signs are creeping back across much of the ash-covered Taguete. Luisto Caran Tisato, who owns a bread shop just outside the exclusion zone, has kept his establishment open since the day of the eruption. He and his wife continue to prepare bread by candlelight on a daily basis despite the lack of electricity and water.
I realize that the first establishment that people will be probably open will be me. So we decided to open anyway. We have the stocks and it's filled with bread. So what we decided is to offer them some breads. If they would pay it, then so be it. If they don't have money, then might as well give it for free.
More than 100,000 people had to abandon their homes around the volcano after it spewed smoke and ash on January 12th. Disaster authorities have deemed the danger level at 4 out of a possible 5. That means that a hazardous explosive eruption is possible within hours to days. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman. This news break from VOA Asia, a wildfire sparked by a military helicopter helping firefighting efforts was blazing out of control and threatening homes on the outskirts of Australia's capital Wednesday as fire danger escalated across the country's southeast. Fire spread over 9,500 hectares since it was started by a transport helicopter landing light that ignited grass in the area. We continue on VOA Asia. Lawyers for U.S. President Donald Trump wrapped up their defense Tuesday at his Senate impeachment trial, strongly rebuffing claims that he withheld military aid to Ukraine to benefit himself politically. Joining us is VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson. This is not the end of the impeachment hearing, I take it, right?
No, not at all.
Tell us more.
Sure. So basically what happened today is that the first phase of the trial came to a close, and that was the opening arguments phase, with both sides presenting their defense or their prosecution. Now what happens next is that senators get to ask a series of written questions to each side, alternating Democrats and Republicans.
Well, that could take until how long, and how much of it depends on whether or not witnesses are permitted?
Well, the next question phase we know for certain will take 16 hours, spread out over 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, which would mean that the witness issue would come up for the first time on Friday. What we do know also is that Republicans are meeting right now. They are more than likely discussing the strategies for that witness vote and how that is all going to go down on Friday.
Explain as simply as you can for an international audience why all of a sudden that witnesses are possible.
Right. So over the weekend, a New York Times report revealed that former National Security Ambassador John Bolton is due to publish a book. In that book, he says that he had personal conversations with President Trump in which Trump told him that the Ukraine aid was conditioned on the investigations he wanted into his political rivals. This bombshell revelation really pushed forward the witness discussion here on Capitol Hill during the impeachment trial, which up until that moment had been a little bit up in the air. Republicans did not want to call witnesses. There was some talk up until then that the trial would be done on Friday, that McConnell would move very quickly towards finishing this off with an up or down vote on the president's guilt. But now it's really hard for Republicans to turn away from that with the Bolton news, and that's reopening this whole discussion about calling in not just Bolton, but a whole slew of witnesses.
What is the possibility, and this is just speculation on your part and what you've heard walking around the Capitol for the past how many years, whether or not there will be enough votes for witnesses?
The sense is that there are definitely enough votes for witnesses, but remember that that also means that Republicans are going to push for what they want and need too. They're looking for possibly a one-to-one witness deal where if the Democrats get to call John Bolton as a witness, then they get to call some of their witnesses. And remember, they want to bring the Bidens into the Senate impeachment trial. They want former Vice President Joe Biden pulled off the campaign trail to talk about his son's involvement in the Ukrainian gas company Burisma. They want actually to call his son Hunter Biden to come and testify. They want a kind of a deal where they get what they want as well.
Catherine Gibson is our VOA congressional correspondent, and she actually gets maybe a few minutes to take a break now and enjoy yourself.
I try. Thank you.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud, download our podcast, take VOA Asia with you. Visit our VOAnews.com program page, see us on YouTube, follow us on VOA Asia Twitter, and we'd like to hear from you at VOA Asia Facebook, our email, VOAasia@VOAnews.com. You will be quizzed on all of this tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Dan Crafton, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a wonderful day.